Job 25, the Old Testament, right in the middle. Then answered Bildad, the Shuhite, and he said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places." Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom does his light not shine or arise? How then can a man be justified with God? And how can he be clean if he is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars, and they're not pure in his sight. How much less man, that is, a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. That was Bildad, the Shuhite. He had that's where the high-heeled shoes came from. Bildad. I wouldn't listen to him. He is wrong. He thinks that man is a worm. How many here feel like you're a worm? How many have that idea that you're kind of a concept that you're a worm? Well, it's even in the Old Testament. So it is not exactly wrong. Fear not, Jacob, you worm. Even God says that in Isaiah. So there is a kind of truth there. But how many know that truth isn't always truth? That sometimes one can say something that's true and make it untruth. Sometimes you can say the right words, but you can say them in such a way that they come off totally wrong. So here's Bildad giving his worldly wisdom, his natural wisdom. He's a smart guy. He knows how the world's put together. And he says, God has dominion and fear. Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. I mean, and that's true. He has dominion. He's over everybody. And you should fear before him. All men should fear before him. Well, that's true too. So the guy's not lying, and yet he's a liar. Anything coming out of his mouth is a lie, even though what he's saying seemeth to be true. Because from a certain point of view, that's true, but from another point of view, that's a lie. Dominion and fear are before him, and all creatures must look to God. All creatures must, you know, they must hold God in fear. They must be respectful, reverent, worship him, fear him. I mean, no, that's true. And they should, they ought to be accountable to him. They ought to be moral to their neighbors, and they ought to be just. So how can you argue with Bildad the Shuhite, the inventor of the high-heeled shoe? How can you argue with the guy? He's right. But then he concludes by saying, man's a worm. And then the son of man is also a worm. Well, there we got him. Maybe man's a worm, but the son of man's not a worm. Jesus is not a worm. Oh, you know, he's wrong right there. So we got him on one point anyway. No, everything that he said is a lie. Because if you only look at man from a human point of view, there could be some truth to what he says. God is in the heavens. He created everything. And you look down on a man, and what is he but a worm? Not only that, but the worms eateth every man. And when a person dies, if you leave him lay for a couple of days, 3, 4, 5 days, pretty soon the worms will have devoured all the flesh. They just eat away. That's the Bible way of talking about the natural man. And so according to the natural man, that's your destiny right there. Maybe you were a good man, the worms get you. Maybe you were an evil man, the worms get you. Either way it goes, the worms win. Those little worms will eat away and devour and chew you up until there's nothing left but bone. Now, they don't eat the bones. They just eat everything around the bone. And it's gone. And then they, of course, you know, have nothing more to eat. Now, you don't have to buy these worms. They come with the package. They're built in. And anybody that dies has got worms in them. Did you know that you're full of worms? Everybody know that? And in 4 days' time, we can see them. So you don't have to buy these. That is the way of saying an earthly person dieth. Now, I have taught you many times that God has two hands, two arms. He has two sides to him. He's got this side and he's got this side. Does anyone remember the teaching? Because it's critical. It's vital. Mess this up and you've messed everything up. This is 4th of July weekend. So I could preach you an incredible message on the right hand and on the left hand of God. What is on the left hand? The law is over here. What's on the right hand? Grace, mercy, law, gospel, so on and so forth. All right, that's very good. Smart people. Or at least you were, John. Pay attention. Y'all didn't cheat off of John. Y'all knew that. All right. So God's right hand is the hand by which the church stands. His left hand is the hand by which the whole world stands. Here, a small handful. Here, everyone. So if you're born of man, Bildad, the Shuhite, is right, left-handedly. From a left-handed point of view, he's absolutely correct. In terms of natural justice, God has dominion, and all men must fear him. And every creature owes him reverence, a duty to God, a piety, some kind of worship. And every man owes his neighbor some kind of love, some kind of, at least don't injure him, some kind of moral, kind of a moral standing. And every man owes his nation, of which he's a part, to be just, to be a good citizen, to do that which is right, to avoid that which is wrong. That's the left hand. So under the left hand, there's a truth here. But unfortunately, you could keep all under the left hand and still go to hell and never attain to the right hand. Because all of God's dominion, power, and riches is over here. This is the perfection of what this only hints at. His left hand doesn't tell you the whole truth. It's his right hand. You remember Jesus sitteth now on the right hand of God the Father? And so doth the Queen. The Queen does not sit on the left hand. She sits always on the right hand. The place of dominion, of rule, authority, kindness, mercy. So anyone that rules on the left hand without the Queen in mind, without mercy in mind, will be a cruel tyrant. But anyone who rules on the left hand but recognizes that the Queen is sitting on the right and the Lord Jesus is sitting on the right hand will be a godly ruler, will be limited in his government, will notice that you cannot perfect men on the left. Government and politics can never perfect mankind. You can't expect the justice system to be just. You can only expect a rough form of left-handed justice. In other words, don't injure your neighbor. But you can't actually expect you to be just truly to your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go the extra mile. So on the right hand of God sitteth all of his power. What he began on the left, he finishes and completes on the right. Or another way of putting it is, as George Washington said, human happiness is not possible on the left side. That belongs on the right side. That's something government doesn't deal with. That's what's evil about the welfare state. The welfare state imagines and pretends that it's actually helping people. Government can't help people. It can only keep people from destroying one another, but it can never help. Therefore, the welfare state is out. It's satanic. It's not just not working, it's evil. It's constitutionally, essentially, fundamentally evil to burden the people with an illusion that we can actually love one another politically. No, we can't love one another. That's right-handed. God has separated forever. There is no myth of separation. It's the basis of all good government. It's the basis of any hope on this earth. And the founders well understood the scripture, and they well understood political reality. That's why they separated forever church from state. Now, church and state is not the same as God and religion. Church is a particular. State is a particular. Well, there are many nations in the earth, but they're not all the same. So you can have many particulars. You can have a democracy, an aristocracy. You could have a monarchy. You could have a republic. You can have various forms of republics, various forms of. In other words, man gets to choose over here which kind of government he'll have. But the particular form that you pick, government itself is given by God, but the form you pick is chosen by men. And God has not chosen what form of government we shall have. It's up to man to choose himself. Even God did not impose a monarchy upon his people. In fact, he forbade it. He said monarchy would not fit a holy people of the right hand. It would only be fit for miserable creatures. It would only be fit for the ignorant. It would only be fit for the ruthless. It would only be fit for the lawless. Have one man in control. That's why we're tending toward monarchy now, because people are no longer lawful. They're no longer self-governing. They're no longer under God. We've become a godless nation. Therefore, we deserve a king. When God picks, he does not pick a king. When God picks, he would pick someone to be a judge, perhaps, but never a king. So God doesn't rule his people as a harsh king with a sword and with power. The only purpose of the sword and power is not to create a welfare state where the king is like a father. No, the only purpose of the sword is to stop the bad guys from stopping the good guys. Therefore, the good guys, that's us. Everybody here is a good guy, right? I mean, you wouldn't be here if you weren't a good guy. So everybody here is a good guy. We're on the right side of God. We're right with God. The others are left. That's the people on the left. Do you all understand? It's not a joke. It sounds like a joke, but it's not. It's very accurate. The left or the liberal or the socialist or the communist or the, you know, the one who's full of novelty about, you know, how we could be perfectionistic on this earth. They're liars, thieves, murderers. That's why no government on the left has ever succeeded and ever will succeed. Can live for a few years until the worms devour and destroy the host. That's why every government on the face of the earth, including Sweden, the model socialist government, has failed. In 1992, though I dare say none of you were aware of it, Sweden bankrupted totally and all of Europe collapsed. You didn't know it because it was a game by the bankers to prop it up and to pretend like socialism was still alive. And to this day, they're still pretending like it's alive. But actually, it totally depends upon capitalism. Without a few capitalists, and so they actually transferred all of their assets into the hands of private entrepreneurs. Did y'all know that? Did any of you know that? It's world-shaking. So, lies don't work. Never have, never will. Fundamentals are fundamentals. God set the world up in a perfect manner. Therefore, Bildad is a liar. And Job catches him. Because Job knows about the right hand. Job knows that a man will be justified. But Bildad said, can a man be justified with God? If God is perfect and he's up in the heavens, how can a worm ever justify himself with such a God? And here's the thought. That if you could be good, then you'd be right with God. Because God is good. Does anyone see the lie? The lie is this, but we're not good. Therefore, we couldn't be right. So Bildad would be right if he's right, but he's wrong. Therefore, we're all right. Only one of you caught that. That was a double entendre. That means I said something that had two levels of meaning. You cannot be right on the left. The left is always wrong. Now, the left hand of God, the left hand of God is God's hand. Therefore, the left hand of God is under God. And it holds all the earth in awe. And God demands of us over here on the left hand, all men, regardless of who you are, atheist, communist, witchcraft, American, Spanish, it doesn't matter, young, old, male, female, all men are kept under his left hand. There's no escape. And judgment, mishpat, rides here on the left hand. But tzaddik, righteousness, is on the right hand. Mishpat, tzaddik, two Hebrew words. The one means judgment, the other means justice. So the natural justice of the world is that the bad guys get punished and the good guys go free. That's the natural justice. Very good. It's under God. He set it up. It's perfect. However, you cannot become tzaddik without God giving you a gift. You can't earn it under the left hand. You must receive it from the right hand. So if you failed in the left hand, you run to the right hand. The reason that America even succeeded at all in theory and then somewhat in practice was because they saw how many times government didn't work. Never. That's what they learned. The Greeks didn't have it. The Romans didn't have it. The Persians didn't have it. The Babylonians didn't have it. No one had it. Government is impossible to produce morality or justice or hope. It's all given by the right hand. So how then could one set up a good government? By having the left hand leave the right hand alone, separate forever. So those that say that it's a myth are themselves a myth. I said something strong, powerful. It's an illusion of this day that you could join these two. That's called Christendom. When you join the church and the state together, who are both particulars, you run into an incredible problem that a particular state with a particular church could be united. You will have hell to pay every single time. That's what's wrong with our religious right who are not right. And they ought to be left. Because they're wrong. It's foolishness. It'll only produce tyranny, despotism, confusion, disillusionment, destruction, totalitarianism. Can lead nowhere. It's as foolish as the left, which was enamored with the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, and all the other socialistic, communistic, utopian views of man, that man could actually perfect himself or better himself without God, even though they're godly people speaking ungodly things, because they're wrong completely. The founding fathers, not to a man, not to one man, not to any man among the founding fathers ever joined the two, but kept them separate forever, forever, forever. Why? Because God did. God, as he sat upon the throne, he said, this is my left, and this is my right, and they will forever be separate. What I do here is one thing. What I do here is another. Here for the many, here for the few. Here for the many, here for the few. All men under here, but I will redeem some over to here. The ones that I rescue out of my left hand so that they don't suffer under mishpat, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, you won't have good government over here, because it's made up of sinful, wicked, nasty, corrupt people. But thanks be unto God for you and me. Pure, spotless, faithful people. Amen? Did you all see it? This is you and me over here on the right hand. Born again. Now listen carefully. This common, secular, temporal. You see, that's one thing. Here's another. Holy, spiritual, eternal. Never the two shall be joined. They must always be kept separate. Must never be joined. Now, remember, we're speaking now institutionally. That is, what God originally instituted. That any form of state and any form of church, religion, spirituality, must be kept separate forever. And there's not one nation on the face of the earth that ever did it. Ever. Even God tried an experiment with the Jewish people. A people that he called to his right hand. But they never quite made it. You can't get to the right hand from the left hand. You can't start with the left hand and try to move over into the right. If you're left-handed, you're left-handed. That's all there's to it. So you can't become good in order to become right, because the left hand cannot produce good. Why? Because only God is good. None is good but God. And you're not good. Never will be, never have been, never shall be. You are wicked to the hilt. Could I hear an amen? You are wicked, you are nasty, you are selfish, you are not of God at all. And therefore you deserve mishpat, the judgment of God, to completely destroy you. Because you're not worthy of breathing. You're a worm. Say it. I am a worm. I love it. It's so good. Now, are you really a worm? No, not if you're from the right hand. You give up your wormness. Because under your wormness, you'll be devoured and destroyed. But not only that, you'll destroy and devour others. Because as a worm under the natural power, no man is justified. Can a man be justified? He was right. Bildad was right. Can a man be justified before God? Never. Except, you're talking left hand. What about the right hand? He knew nothing of the right hand. That's his mistake. God also has a right hand where he reserves for himself the right to forgive through mercy. Those that have failed on the left, they can still be redeemed on the right. I'll tell you, this is the beauty of it. And that's why our government was set up. And except for Texas, our nation would be lost today. Y'all didn't see that at all. Except for Texas, our nation would be lost today. Originally, it was Virginia and Boston. But today, the nation has lost its way. The pulpits are silent, confused, because they don't know the difference between their left and their right. But here in Texas, we keep things separate. The left is the left and the right is the right. You know, that's why we drive on the right. Did you all know that? No, I'm not joking. We drive on the right because most cowboys had their guns on their right and they're holding the reins in the left, and the other guy is going to pass them over there so you can shoot him. You don't know that, do you? You never know when I'm telling the truth. But it does explain why we're on the right. Now, if you're a left-handed cowboy, that causes problems. So God has established that holiness is here. The eternal is here. That which is pure is here. The perfected is here. And that's where you are. He holds you in his right hand. With his right hand, he upholdeth me. That's right hand. The whole Old Testament and New Testament is built upon this concept. And the founding fathers well understood it. They left it alone. Because the left hand has no right to dictate to the right. Nor will it ever violate anything on the right. That's why abortion is wrong. The left hand cannot dictate to that which is on the right, nor can it vary. Homosexuality is wrong, always, because the right says so. Even if the left argues about it. See, the left hasn't decided. Well, we're debating it. Debate. It's rubbish. The right's already decided. It's over. Adultery is out. Thievery is out. Murder is out. It's all. Sometimes the left agrees, sometimes it doesn't. It's none of their business. Doesn't matter what they say. Sooner or later, everybody on the left knows they're lying. Even the homosexuals knows that homosexuality is perversion. They just want to get God. Because they're mad at his people. They're not really mad at God, they're mad at his people. They think that God's people are hypocrites. I don't know where they get the idea. I don't know where they get that idea. So because of that, it's a deliberate attempt. In another age, you'd commit adultery. In another age, you'd steal. In another age, you'd swear. But in this age, it's homosexuality. And in the next age, the one that just follows it, it'll be bestiality. That will be the most perverse form of affront to God. And it'll become common. Not because all of a sudden we've been educated to it, because men are still searching for ways to hurt him. Because they believe that God, who is on the left side, has not been just. And it's because we have failed to be a light to this world. You see, the hope of the republic lies in the hands of the pastors, lies in the pulpit. It lies in the truth that's being promulgated, published, put forth to the people so that they might be exhorted, not the all people, but just those that come, whosoever will. Those that come should be exhorted not only to love God with all their heart, their neighbor as themselves, but also to be good citizens. Because the pulpit has forgotten the latter two and only concentrated on believe, only believe, faith alone. Because the message has gotten watered down over the years and lost, the left hand got confused. At one time in this nation, the right hand was strong enough to be able to subdue the left, meaning keep it limited. So neither the left dominated the right, nor did the right dominate the left. Whenever the right hand is tempted to become whorish and no longer be a pure bride, it wants to take over the political process. That doesn't mean, I'm not talking about being involved in politics. I'm talking about taking over, dominating. I'm talking about what they call reconstructionism, dominionism, taking over this world, taking over the media, taking over the school system, taking over the police department in the name of Jesus. This is nothing more than the heresy of the Middle Ages, where you had inquisitions and crusades, and Christians are going to run the world as though it would be a better world because there were Christians running it. God does not need Christians under his left hand. All men are there, whether Christian or no. But you should be a light and salt to this world so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father which is in heaven and say of themselves, how come we couldn't produce that? Look what they've produced. America at one time was the dream of the world, not just because of Walmart, but they were the dream because they were a goodly people. Alexis de Tocqueville in 1835 saw that. He observed that as he was going about visiting. He said, you know, I believe the reason that America is great is because it's good. He meant left-handed good, rough good. But he saw that the secret to it was the Christian religion on the right hand. And he wrote that in his book, Democracy in America. It's a great book. Read it. One of the things when I homeschooled my children, I read that book to them, among many others. Read the exact original. Go back to the original source. Don't read books about books about books about. Read the books. Go back to the book itself. Read John Locke. Read that which is great, which has some merit. Otherwise, you're reading a book about somebody's opinion, about somebody's opinion, about somebody's opinion. It's worthless. Most education today is dumbed down. Teachers are deliberately taught that, and the teachers themselves don't even know the original sources. They neither speak Hebrew, nor Greek, nor Latin, nor any foreign language with any degree of proficiency. Therefore, they're no longer educated as to the past, so they live out of the present. It's just simply whatever makes you feel good, whatever helps me to pass the test. I have to pass the TOS test or whatever the thing is to get through. No. We have fallen upon hard times. Without a vision, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed. So therefore, except in Texas, this nation's in trouble. But thanks be unto God, because of Tarrant County, because of this church, we're okay.
Yeehaw!
Now, you got to understand there's a war going on out there, and there's darkness everywhere. We're the only people left with humor, the only people left with optimism, confidence, vision, knowledge, capacity. Why? Because we're children of the right. We are the light of the world and the salt that preserves and keeps the world from perishing. Otherwise, the world itself would perish because there's no salt to preserve it, to flavor it. It would be dead. It would be nothing but desperation, despondency. You go to any other country in the world, and you'll see the despondency, the lack of hope. There might be an upper class. There might even be a small middle class. But most of the people will be underclass. And their faces will be flat. They have only some joy in their own families and maybe in a small gathering of vodka drinkers. But basically, there's very little hope in this world. There's just one tyranny after another, and people just get used to it, they don't even pay attention to it. That's why you must be on the right. No more drugs. No more adultery. No more swearing. No more fun. No more life. No fat. No salt. No sugar. Bland. Manna. Ugh, what is it? What is the manna? God wants you to remember why you're here. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You're here to be a light. You're here to be salt. Your family should be heaven on earth. Your family, just you and your wife and whatever children you have, whatever, that should be heaven. Every time you gather together, it should be heaven. A few spankings keeps it that way. You have heaven on earth. Because we were faithful and diligent to spank our children when they were younger, they are now very happy. Right, Dave? Dave got the most, but he benefited the most. Look how happy he is. No, you see, spankings only hurt your bottom. They don't hurt your spirit. They only hurt your ego, your will, your pride. They don't hurt you. The bottom is cushioned. It's deliberately bunches of stuff back there. And now it gets red. It doesn't kill you. Y'all understand? That's not just mishpat. That's mishpat through tzaddik. Spare the rod, spoil, destroy the child. So you must be liberal in the rod. How many of you are good parents, liberal with that rod? No. That's the way you do it. No. And then immediately if they disobey, you spank them. No discussions. Ah, no discussions. And little kids are full of discussions. Let's talk. Let's negotiate. You negotiate from weakness. No. So little kids always want to talk whenever they're caught. You know, they want to say something right away. It'll just come out. It'll just pour out. She did it. I didn't do it. You know, and they're just full of talk. Criminals are the same. Criminals are always talkers. Now, let me explain. And now we even have psychiatrists for them. Someone smoking a pipe and listening to them. Yes, yes, go on. Oh, you're troubled. I feel sorry for you. You know, they don't need that. Get in there and eat rotten food. Grow up. Work hard. Get out on a chain gang. You don't want to stay in here. Hello? Harsh, but quick. Not one of these things where you stay in forever and watch colored TV. Go to weight rooms and, you know, swap tricks. No. That's not helping anything. Just keeping them, you know, away. There should be something productive going on. That's a Christian idea. It's not a world idea. It's a Christian idea. But don't do it halfway, kind of half Christian, half world. You better go all the way. The rehabilitation would have to come from the churches. It's not going to come from the state. State cannot be kindly. State has power. There's only one thing to a state: power. Sword. Gun. That's it. There isn't anything else. There is no such thing as justice. This justice just simply says this: the bad guy gets stopped, the good guy goes free. That's it. The only purpose of the government, police, mayor, governor, president, whatever, is to defend you, the righteous, the one on the right, against the bad guy who is not good on the left. But the kind of goodness they're looking for is not this kind of goodness. The kind of goodness they're looking for is just a rough kind of goodness: don't injure your neighbor. They're not actually wanting you to love your neighbor, they just don't want you to injure your neighbor. So that's all. Hey, you went over 55. That's it. It's not, you have to go 43. They're not telling you what to do. They're just telling you what not to do. Don't go over 55. And then there's a little leeway there. Okay, you can go 6 miles, 7 miles over, 15 miles over, depending on what the deal is. But technically, you're supposed to stay within the limit. Whatever the limit is, you got to stay within it. Okay, the government then of the left hand is never going to produce heaven on earth. It just keeps hell from dominating. Dominion and fear are in the Almighty. And the dominion on the left side just simply keeps people alive until Jesus can get to them. Now, I'm going to say it again. The only purpose of the church is to save as many as possible out of the state. Otherwise, there's no need for a state. The state would disappear, not into communism. Communism is a perversion of the church. It's pretending that we could have heaven on earth or a utopia on earth without God. It's impossible. The living God is needed. That's why communism came up with just material things. That's all the Japanese want. That's why the Japanese have more suicides than any other culture. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot have a culture that is fair and just. You'll never have it. Chinese society, Indian society, I don't care what society is. Without equity that comes on the right side, you cannot maintain, you cannot have enough policemen. There's no way you can have enough force to keep people down. Sooner or later, people will do what they're going to do. So they always have local little warlords and, you know, all kinds of things that make corrupt nations stay alive. But they're all waiting for us, the sons of God. They're all waiting for us here in Texas. I'm putting it that way so you won't forget it. I want you to understand, you have a destiny, a purpose. Because you live on the right, you must start with your own tongue. Conquer your tongue. It takes 2-3 weeks. Conquer your own tongue. After that, get all the sin out of your life. It's another week or two. After that, you dominate your wife and your children. That takes about 4 days. And after that, and so on. You understand how the program works. Now, if you get bogged down, there's always mercy. There's always mercy. Thank God. The right hand is a merciful hand. But don't forget this. The same hand that's on the right, mercifully, is also the powerful hand. All the power is over here. It's not over here. This is a limited power. But this is incredible power to perfect that which this is hinting at, hoping for. This world can never find what it's looking for, nirvana. Can never find what it hopes to get. So God's right hand is the redemption of what the left hand could never do. And you can only have ruined lives on the left hand. Just enough to stay alive and survive. That's about it. But this one brings the true civilization. That is, not civilization, but God's eternal hope, which alone redeems this world from the foolishness of human civilization. Egyptian, Persian, Babylonian, Greek, Roman, doesn't matter what it is. All human society and all history of mankind is nothing but the history of wars, rapes, murder, stealing, robbery, because it's the history of man under the left hand. Now, it's true that a few good things happen over here, but they're very limited, and they don't get you into heaven. You can be as good as you want to be, still don't go to heaven on the left hand. So Bildad is completely wrong, because he said, how can a man born of woman be justified? He knew that when a woman bears a child, that child will be evil. That's the wisdom of the ancient world. That any child born of a woman, because that's how you get them, any child born of a woman will be evil. In other words, you're not going to raise a child that'll be a god. They'll all be less than God. They'll all fall short of the glory of God. Anyone. So therefore, how can such a person, not being good, be justified right with God? The answer is they can't. You cannot come from this side and get God's approval on this side. Here you must be right before you're good. Here you must be good in order to be right. But you can't be good. Therefore, it's a dream that will never happen. It's a pyramid whose top will never be built. There is no hope in mankind. There is no hope in the institutions that men have set up to ever bring them into right relationship with God, because you can't be good enough to be right. But over here, we don't have to be good to be right. We have to be bad in order to be right. But if you're bad, Jesus said, remember what Jesus said, I came not for the righteous. I came for the bad. I came for the wicked. I came for those that failed under the left. I came for everyone who's a sinner, who's rebellious against God, who didn't do what God wanted. I came to give you hope. And I did it through my own life. I did it so you'd fall in love with me. So now there's hope, not through the left hand, me being good. Me always trying to restrain my bad. That's all the world wants, is just restrain your bad. They're not trying to change you from being bad. What a fool who would think that you could actually change a leopard, spots. Could actually change a bad person into a good person. That's like the dream of, of making silk out of a sow's ear, or of making lead into gold. It's the same alchemy that has always intrigued man, as I wonder why we can't make perfect people. We had the idea in our head. I can think of a better world. It doesn't help. Thinking of a better world is just speculation. It's just a mere dream. It's a song. It has no reality at all. It's an ideal. The Greeks idealized God. God was nothing but an idea, an ideal. Nobody ever saw love on earth. They just believed in Aphrodite. Nobody ever saw, you know, anything good on the earth. So they said even of themselves, there is nothing perfect down here. Everything's imperfect. There's a perfect chair upstairs, but we just build chairs that are flawed. There's a perfect person upstairs, but we just build them down here that are just normal. Every once in a while, there's a Hercules among us who kind of looks godlike, maybe half God, half man. That was as high as the Greeks could get. But they always understood there is a Most High above everything that's on the earth, and no man has ever achieved it. So there is no hope from the left side except to run to the right side, but you can't run to the right side because you're not good enough. So the right side would have to come down to you. So can a man be justified on the earth who's born of woman? Absolutely. And is the Son of Man a worm? Absolutely not. The Son of Man happens to be the Son of God, who comes down upon the earth to rescue all that's under the left hand that will. Doesn't force anyone, because the right hand doesn't force. It's not a hand of power and force. That's the left hand with the sword, with the gun, with compelling power. Whenever this government makes a law, it has to back it up with power. I don't care how kindly the law sounds, it has to back it up with power. It's an or else. It's never friendly. If it says this person, you know, gets food stamps, then it's compelled. The state cannot do what only the church can do. If you want to help people, you're never going to get a government program to do it. Every government program that's ever been introduced on the face of the earth is always corrupted. Why? Because you're taking the monies, the revenue from the peoples, all the peoples, common, and then you're applying it and redistributing it from one group to another. It'll never work. A poor fund is all right. But beyond that, beyond some kind of very basic kind of thing, keep people from starving, or, you know, having a little tent you can throw people in or something, you're not going to ever have a real program without Christians being involved, without God's right hand rescuing it from. Otherwise, it'll be inhuman, and it'll be corrupted, and it always is, and it always shall be. Do you all understand? This is politics because it's 4th of July. I have to do it. But I've got it out of Job. I am so tricky. I am so good at doing that kind of thing. But it's all in Job. It's all in Job. But I had to use Bildad, a bad guy, to do it. Now, Job believed in the right hand. He believed that my Redeemer liveth. The Redeemer's over here on the right side. I know that my Redeemer liveth. They said to him, you're a sinner over here. He said, it's irrelevant. I don't say so. I'm not a worm over here. I'm actually a son of God over here, because I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that on the latter days he shall stand upon the earth and shall declare my vindication, my righteousness, my holiness, not by works being good to be right, but by righteousness which cometh by faith in his good work, not mine. That's a new concept, a new idea. Job was a man of faith. Old Testament, to be sure. Nevertheless, he understood and sorted out the difference between human justice and God's justice, human wisdom and man, God's wisdom, human light and man's true enlightenment, which only comes from Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that cometh into the world to enlighten every man. You cannot be enlightened through the enlightenment. You can only be enlightened through Jesus Christ. So the question of the Middle Ages and the question of the Renaissance is, what shall be the measure? What is the measure of man? The humanist said, on the left hand, man is the measure of all things. Everything should benefit man. Half true. Everything does benefit man, but only if you have the right hand from God, the benefactor. If man is the benefactor for man, you'll never have a good king, a benevolent king. You'll never have a good government, a benevolent government, a welfare government, one that takes care of the people and gives them happiness. The only thing that a government gives you is the pursuit of happiness, not the happiness itself. You can pursue happiness. We won't stop you from pursuing it, but you have to get it. The pursuit of it is over here. You have to have the freedom that the state will leave you alone because the state has no business giving you happiness. It can only leave you alone so that God can give you happiness, because God is the author of all happiness. The only reason you can be happy is not because your marriage works. How many know that marriages don't work? They're designed not to work. Part of the reason is you. This is a big part of it right there. The other part is the other person. Now, that's it. That's a reason that no marriage can ever be happy. It's got a wrong foundation, because the person you're living with is left-handed. This is a left-hander. Over here, that person you're living with is sinful, wicked, nasty. They want. They'll suck everything out of you. You can just feel yourself going down right into the tube there. And even then, they're not satisfied. They'll irp you up, swallow you again. Isn't that amazing? Come on, you all have enough experience. You're not going to find happiness in a person. There isn't even any happiness in you. Can you imagine adding yourself to some person over here? No, there is no such thing. Two wicked people marrying, what can come from it? Total, absolute frustration, anger, and failure. That's all. So every time we marry somebody, we give them this warning. Don't forget, you are marrying a wicked person, and thou art wicked thyself. That's the only reason our marriages work. That's the only reason our marriages are working at all. Because you are a wicked person marrying another wicked person. Get it? Get used to it. We don't believe in this, you know. Oh, he loves me. We don't believe that. We believe he only loves you if he can use you. Hello? We're not living in utopia, dreamland. We live in the real world. That's why there are half the marriages not making it. But actually, the other half don't either. So none of them are making it. That's just kind of a joke, because they stayed together to murder each other and to, you know, abuse one another. That's not a marriage either. No, the only way you can get free in marriage is to marry somebody who's dead. Is, you know, put them in a coffin and just, okay, I'll marry you, and don't ever dispute with me. Thank you. You know, and if you marry a dead person, you'll have a very good marriage. But it would help if you were dead too. Because even if you're alive, you'll still be miserable, even with a dead person. Because you're hard to please. Say it, I am very hard to please. And that's the truth. And if I ever get married to anybody, I'd burden them. Say it. And that's the truth. Could I have a show of hands? No. It's kind of a punishment. You know, you're kind of like, you have a little sign on yourself that says, you know, here, I'm about to afflict you for the rest of your life. You know, you need to put that up there and give kind of a little warning, a little disclaimer. I'm sure you won't survive me. You know, that kind of a thing. You've heard of survivors. You know, I'm sure you will not survive me. Because you're a punishing person. That's left-handed. God knows that. You need Jesus. He created the world that you needed the one that created you to not only create you, but then redeem you, and not only redeem you, but perfect you. You cannot make it without him. So mankind is still pretending, hey, God, we don't need you. I think you do. No, we don't. Just stay up there, eat your grapes, leave us alone down here. We'll work it out. Okay, go for it. I'll be back in a, you know, few minutes to see how you're doing. God knows that no marriages will ever work. I tell you, they will not work. You can put illusions in your head, and you can make it look like and appear like and play fancy music and drink a lot of wine and stuff, but it's not going to work. When you face the halitosis the next morning in bed, and you're looking straight into the eyes of that other person, you realize, God, I don't like you. And his people are irritating. They're obnoxious. Amen? Hello? It's a good message. Very good message. It's just 4th of July, fireworks. We're just getting it going. Bildad said, how can a man be justified? His idea was, you have to be good in order to be right with God. How can he be justified? How can you be just? How can you be right with this God over here? The answer is, he's right. You can't, but he's a left-handed thinker. He has no knowledge. He's ignorant. And Job will rebuke him in the next chapter. He'll rebuke him to his face. You know nothing. You have no power to help me, and you have no wisdom at all. What you say is worthless. You speak as a worm, as though I were a worm. But I am not a worm. I am a man of God, a woman of God, and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, not only have I repented of all my sin over here on the left, but not only that, I totally rely upon the blood of Jesus to wash me clean so that I stand right with God without being good. Right with God without being good. I'm right without goodness. So how can a man be justified who's born of woman? Easy. Easy. All you have to do is believe that that's what God wants, that He just give it to you as a free gift. If anyone here is right, if you're enjoying anything on this earth, it's a gift. It's just a pure gift, not from the Creator, but from the Creator who's a Redeemer. And He's just redeeming you. He's just being kind to you, not because you deserve it. You don't deserve it. All you deserve is mishpat, but He will give you tzaddik. Now, Art Katz, his name is actually the tz at the end. That is tzaddik. Art Katz is Kohen, high priest, tzaddik. Kohen, tzaddik, Katz. K for Kohen, and the TZ for tzaddik. He is a righteous Kohen. In other words, he comes from the most highest Jewish family on the face of the earth. A Katz is the highest name in all of Israel because it's Kohen, tzaddik, the most righteous high priest. What does that mean? The most merciful. The one that can give hope to his people. That's why Art went against the Jewish people themselves, not because he was against them, he was for them. But in order to be for them, he had to be against their message of stay on the left hand and try to work your way into heaven through good works. He already knew that was a foolish idea. He had lived himself in such a way that he could never have attained to that idea. He couldn't even clean up his life, even to the bitter end. He still hadn't cleaned up all of the wickedness in his life. But he relied upon his Redeemer. And he knew that on the latter day, the Redeemer will stand upon the earth and say, Arthur Katz, Kohen Tzaddik, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Ha, there was his righteousness, not through goodness, but through faith. Not through his own works, but through the works of another. There was the true Kohen Tzaddik. The true righteousness doesn't come from what we do, it's what he's done. It doesn't come from anything in me, my brilliance, my intelligence. How many here are intelligent? Well, you all are. Everybody imagines themselves to be an illusionary intelligence. How smart you are. You can even judge what I'm saying because you're so brilliant, incredible brilliance. But the truth is, you're a fool. Every one of you is ignorant to the hilt. You know nothing. You have nothing. You are nothing. But you just don't want to face it. Everything about you is pretended, invented, created out of nothing. It's like silk out of a sow's ear. You just keep sewing it till you get some silk out of it. A sow's ear has those real heavy bristles. Yeah, we'll make that into silk. It's the stupidity and foolishness of a human being imagining they could be right with God. Can't be right with God by anything you do. Your own goodness will never amount to a hill of beans. That's about this tall. It'll never get that tall. Your hill is this tall, and you're this tall. It's not going to get there. You can't. This is as high as your hand can go. Right there. Right there. You can't get it any higher. You're not able to. Only God has the stature. I mean, know that God has extended to you a gift. He just says, take it. Take this free gift. Take your hands off the dung that you've got. Just take my free gift. Amen? So the government that God has set up in the world will not go away. You say, well, the bad guys might win. They'll never win. Well, I mean, the wicked people, they still will never win. Because once God sets something up, it's set up. That's it. He never changes his mind. Well, I think I'll go along with the revolutionaries. He never will. I don't care how many governments of the world corrupt. He'll still have his own people. He always does, always will. We not only have a church that loves God and loves the neighbor, but it also loves this world and is salt and light in the political, civil, public realm. It's part of our witness, part of our love, part of our testimony. You can't just not be involved. Why don't be involved? It's all corrupt. Well, you're the reason. You're the reason. Get in there if you're so righteous, if you're so holy, if you can make that judgment. Well, it doesn't count anyway. Who cares what you think? God gave you the job, so do it. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and unto God what belongs to God. Well, what belongs to God? Everything. So everything belongs to God. Give him the worship. That's what Caesar's wrong today, and you're the guilty one. If you don't worship God with all your heart and soul and strength, you're guilty, because now Caesar's going to come along and punish you for that. So you have to limit him. And you're not just going to say, please, Mr. Caesar, let me do what I wish. You're not going to do it. He's nasty. He's got a sword and he's going to use it. He'll bring the church right underneath him, just like Nazi Germany, just like Russia, just like any government that's ever been around the face of the earth. They want a religion that they can control. They don't want religion where people are free. Well, I'm free. I'm no worm. So if you're a free man, they have to kill you. They have to try to bribe you or dominate you or re-educate you. Well, I'm uneducable. I won't be. So they have to kill me, torture me, punish me. Yoo-hoo! Amen. You all excited about that? Because you're my pals. You go along with me, right? Woo-hoo! Woo! How many are with me? Amen. I love it. Liars all. I love it. I am not going to rely on y'all. I'll just tell you right now, I don't believe a one of you. But it's okay. Maybe, just possibly, in the humor of God, there might be one or two. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to stand alone. Standing alone under God is the only way to do it. Otherwise, you'll buy an illusion that the church is really the church. You know, many who call themselves church are not church. A lot of Christians are hypocrites. Big. They're just saying it. But I tell you what, you got to really be happy in this world. I'm happy in this world. I went to a meeting yesterday, and it's all the political leaders, and I was one of them. And they said I was a model. They used me as a model. They said, we got a lot of problems here in the county, and so on and so forth. But I just want to point something out. Right there, what Jim Borchert did with so-and-so and so-and-so. Now that is a model. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? I'm the model. The way, and then the person was right there that I'd had this big war with, but I did it in a model way. And that person was, you know, saying, you know, yeah, he did it right. And I said, oh, yeah, he did it right. And so on. That was a model. Do you realize that doesn't happen in political circles? Do you understand that? That doesn't happen. Dallas isn't like that. San Antonio's not like that. Houston's not like that. Austin's certainly not like that. There is no other place. This is it. The model. The whole world watches the United States. The United States watches Texas. Texas watches Tarrant County. And we're the model. It's kind of like a joke, isn't it? Don't you think it's a joke? I'm not a model. This one guy went on and on. Oh, you know, you never get angry, Pastor Jim. You know, it's amazing. I mean, I'm passionate. I get angry. I want to kill. This is the second guy in charge. I said, well, I don't know. I just don't take it all that seriously. I just feel if God gives you a job to do, go and do it. Don't worry about what people hate you or like you or are for it or against it or whatever. Just do your job. You're doing it. You're not working for man or for people. You're working for God. It's a duty that I have from God. I have a duty to worship God. I have a duty to love the neighbor. And I have a duty to love my country, to love my city, to represent them fairly, honestly, uncorruptedly, no bribes, no intimidation, no fear. I'm telling you, the Bush gang, they can put pressure on you, but I don't pressure. I don't bend. I don't ever compromise. I don't ever back down. It's amazing. Because they can put terrific pressure, and people say, now, will you do this? The voters will ask them, will you do this? Oh, yeah, I will, until you get into the room. And then they have all kinds of pressure on you, put pressure on you. Did you know that's how it works? Democrats, Republicans, independents, they all work the same. Some rich guy, some powerful political guy, you know, they put the old pressure on you. Well, you got to be uncorruptible. Amen? Well, I learned from Jesus, Jim, I want you to go my way. I want you to do what I say. Serve me. Don't serve other people. Well, what if I get hurt? Don't worry about that. Good question, but don't worry about it. You got to get going. Well, could I ask one question? Well, I mean, what if I get hurt? Jesus doesn't care. Jim, you're serving me. Put a smile on your face. Get going. I know, but what if I get hurt? What if people don't like me? What if I'm not popular? What if I don't get anything for it? What if people just misunderstand me? What if there's what if you're misunderstood? Jesus doesn't care about all that little talk. Hey, just do what I say. Dominion and power lies with me. Boom. When you're in politics, you don't have your Jesus side over here. You just have your political side. So, in political terms, the only reason we're here is stop the bad guys. So you got to figure out who they are. Maybe they're the people in the room. So, that's why even Republicans fight Republicans. Democrats fight Democrats. You know, I mean, who's the enemy? We try to demonize as many people as we can to have an enemy. Ah, it's the Nazis, it's the communists, it's the left, it's the liberals, it's the rhinos, it's the, you know, and it's usually the guy sitting right next to you. So you can't figure out who the bad guys are. I like them all. You know why? Because that's under God's left hand. I like them all, even the bad guys. I like them because that's all I see is bad guys. The only thing I can see is bad guys. I don't see any good guys. I mean, it's just kind of a rough justice thing. You don't have to have any brilliance in politics. Because there is no such thing as true justice. There is no such thing. You know, I hope nobody here is hoping that there's justice in this world. There is no hope except in Him. Hope thou in God. Put not your hope in princes or in man. There's not any hope in man. That's why Jesus is not a worm. Every other man is a worm. Jesus is not a worm. Son of man is not a worm. Why? He's the one that justifies the ungodly. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 4. Romans 5, 4, God justifies the ungodly. You've got to be ungodly. You've got to be ungodly in order to be justified. You can't be godly to be justified. You can't be good to be right. You've got to be right to be good. That's when He'll say to you at the end of time, well done, good and faithful servant. What did I do? Well, you didn't notice, but when you were sleeping, I did something. So I'm gonna impute that to you. Oh, I don't think I did anything. Well, I used you when you weren't getting any glory. You did? Well, wow, that's neat. And so a lot of the good, you'll never even see it. Because, you know, if you saw the good, you would immediately think you were right. If you ever did anything good, like in the family, Peggy and I, I'll point something out every once in a while. Peg, did you see what I just did? It was good. Take a little credit for that. That should go for about 6 weeks, don't you think? But she just won't, you know, she won't do it. She just reverts right back to, well, keep going. So, what do you mean? I thought I did a good thing there for 6 weeks. I thought I could get out of that. You know, I remembered a birthday or something. I did something good, finally. Well, I had to tell you. Well, no, you didn't. I thought of it about 3 seconds before you told me that. I was thinking of it. You know, I'm just not good enough to ever be right. Do you all understand? That's why I like Jesus. Jesus is not like Peg. He doesn't expect me to be good to be right. He expects me just to be right, so then He likes me just the way I am. Ooh, I like that, Barbara. That is too powerful. That's too powerful. Did you know you're right with God because Jesus Christ, who is good and who is right, gave you all His goodness and made you right just by faith, just by faith, just by faith. Do nothing, do nothing, do nothing, do nothing, do nothing. Do nothing. Don't commend me for being a model or anything else. I didn't do anything. I just did whatever you're supposed to do. There's no fanfare, no interest. I don't want your praise. I don't want anything else. Just do what you're supposed to do. That's all. Just be, you know, don't be a big shot. Just be faithful to the people that sent you. That's about it. It's not very glamorous. It's not glamorous. But did you know that no politician can be elected in the state of Texas without having Tarrant County on its side? Did you know that? You cannot be elected without Tarrant County. Every politician knows it. You can't be governor. You can't be lieutenant governor. You can't be, you know, anything. You can't be anything without coming here. So they always have to come here. And here they have nincompoops like me. Oh, that's neat. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. But that is all you need, is just ordinary people who understand the difference between the left hand and the right hand. What's the difference? Is everything is here based on mercy, grace, holiness, eternity, free gift. That's what makes me happy. I'm totally happy because I get my happiness over here. I don't have any happiness over here. Here I will always be disappointed. Here I'll always put pressure on other people, pressure on myself. If I pressure myself, I'll be miserable. If I pressure others, it won't work. I mean, it's a tough deal. Chad, have you learned that? You learning? Okay. You got another week. Try to get that down. Don't put pressure on yourself or others. If it doesn't work, they're not reliable. You don't put any pressure on John. You've already learned that? All right. You've already advanced. John, are you not reliable? No. That's a good friend to have. A man that knows that he's worthless. That's good. The only hope he has is in Jesus. You see, that's where all your hope lies. Let's have a couple testimonies. Who has a testimony? Pastor, I never understood politics the way you just explained it. It's left-handed stuff, separated always from the right hand. Everything over here is temporal. Everything over here is common. Everything over here is secular. Everything over here is holy. Everything over here is spiritual. It's pure. It's eternal. It's everlasting. This is the good side. This over here, this is not the good side. This is just an appearance of something. This is the hope right here. That's why Texas could make it. It still has faith here. It's the Bible Belt. It's the Bible Belt. I mean, thank God he told me, get away from the north. You know, I grew up in the north, Chicago, went to Yale. It's all north stuff. See, get out of the north. Go away. Go south, young man. Here I am. I didn't even know where the south was. You know, where? Where do you go? He said, go down in Texas. Well, aren't there Baptists down there? Aren't there rednecks down there? I don't know those people. I'm from the north. Say, get out of the north. The north is dead. It has no vision. It has no nothing. All it has is, you know, make money and crush everybody. Dog eat dog. I grew up in the north. I know what the north is. Lie, cheat, steal, do whatever you have to do. Get ahead. That's it. It's just, there's no mercy up there, kindness or anything. You get in the south, they're kind down here, gentle. Hey, what's your hurry? Where are you going? Well, I don't know. It's about 10 o'clock. Shouldn't we be going home? Ah, you know. Just relax. Take it easy. Now you stay another 5 minutes, they go, What are you doing? Well, I'm just relaxing, staying here. Hey, I'm going to bed. I just didn't understand that. The South's a little different. In the North, they just kick you out. But in the South, they tell you, you know, what's your hurry? But they don't mean it. I didn't know that. What they meant is, get going. What's your hurry is another way of saying, get out. I didn't know that. But I learned the hard way. It was kind of shocking. Well, I'm going to bed. You know, it's like, whoa, that's weird. Yeehaw! All right, God is good. I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't look at what you see today. The world is changing. Don't look at what you see today. That which is big will be small. That which is small will be big. Don't look at anything you're looking at. God ain't done yet. He's not finished. And you're the best. We're preparing you for that vision, that kingdom, that hope, that joy, people of the right hand. People of the right hand. God is a right-handed God. Everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. I tell you, I thank God that I got here. I thank God. This is the best place on earth I could possibly be. Joe, isn't this a wonderful place? I got to meet you. I mean, that's a blessing. You're blessed by meeting me. I mean, it's a little difficult to understand me, but that's the Yankee part. But that's all right. Your husband liked me. I like Joe. I like Guy. He was like a father to me. I was like a son to him.
And I'm like your grandmother.
You're like my grandmother. Father, son, and grandmother. Right there. It worked out great. It's all one big happy family. Now, You may not be accustomed, you know, to this kind of thing. But I'm just telling you, God isn't finished yet. He's still got a work to do. He will finish the left hand and the right hand. He will do both. He's not going to let this go. Doesn't matter how far people go. He will always raise up a faithful people somewhere. And the key to America, the key to the founding fathers, was always never let this hand, which is separated forever from this hand, be hostile to one another. This must never subdue that, and this must never Don't let one dominate the other. Don't let one pervert the other. They can never be put in opposition. The Supreme Court does. The Supreme Court actually violates that founding principle. Therefore, they are supreme fools, without question. Just speaking plain. Those judges are not judging rightly because they don't know the difference between the left and the right. And today, in political circles, people are still confusing these things. They're still confusing everything. Keep everything separated. What God does over here is under God. What God does over here is also under God. But this one has different purposes. This one has different purposes, but they never conflict. They're never hostile. They never oppose each other. The church can never be against the state, ever. But the state can never be against the church. Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's. Render unto God what's God's. There it is. That's it. Over here's the sword. Over here's the word. I'm a word man, not a sword man. I believe that your greatest hope lies in the word of God, explained in such a way. So, who has a testimony? We'll close with your testimony. Who has a testimony? Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, Deborah knows, but a man named Hill was right here, used to be Deborah's name, and he was working on all this wood here. He did all this. And he told me, he said, you need to meet a friend of mine, Art Katz. He's a Jewish brother. I said, well, why do I want to meet him? He said, because you are the Gentile equivalent to Art. And Art needs to meet you, and you need to meet him. I said, I don't want to do it. I got enough on my plate as it is. He said, no, you have to do it. I'm going to call him, I'm going to set it up, and we're going to go up there. I don't want to. It's too far. Minnesota. It's cold up there. He said, you're coming. So we went up there, and just like he said, we immediately became friends. Thank God I just wrote him when he got sick a month ago or whatever. And he wrote me back, so I have that letter. It's a powerful letter. And I believe that Art's passing is not accidental. I believe that something just happened in the heavens. I don't believe his passing the other night was by accident. I believe it has a lot to do with Israel right now as a people and why we're going this fall. I believe there's a plan being worked out. And I believe Art was the prophet. He is the first man ever, ever, ever in the history of the world that's Jewish, but who rebuked his own people as a prophet. Not somebody else, and said that the Jewish people themselves, it's not that they're not right with Jesus, it's that they're not right with Moses. He's the first one I ever heard that from. I always heard them excusing themselves. What did we do wrong? You know, everybody's picking on us. That's what I always heard. But here's one that said, no, you are the guilty ones. You need to get right with God. This kind of right, not this kind of right. First time I ever heard that. I knew it once. This is a brother. This is a man that knows the truth and not all the other monkey business. This is the truth. This is God. And Art stayed true to that to the moment he passed. Stayed true to that. He had the joy. He had the peace. He lived in all kinds of troubles and problems and difficulties. He went to New York, lived there for a few years so that the Jewish people could hate him, despise him. He went to Israel where he was hated again, persona non grata. He went among, the people living in the community and they, always rebelling and yelling and, In other words, wherever he turned, there was no solace. There was no rest. I loved it. And whenever I'd go, he'd share some of those things. And I'd say, that's exciting. Praise God. It's just what you need. More punishment. And I encouraged him, keep going. I remember when his mother, who was Jewish, she was a great lady from a great family, a great Russian background. I remember when he said, well, we don't get along that well. Oh, that's your fault, I said. That you need to humble yourself, tell her you love her. I can't do that, he said. Oh, sure you can. You're a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit. Get going. Do it. Stop making excuses. I can't. It troubles me what you're saying. Good, I said. Do it anyway. Well, next thing I knew, his mother got converted. She got converted. I liked her. She was cool. I remember sitting down at the table with her one time. We were sitting at the table. Where's the fork? I love it. That was great. You know, hey, we need a fork here. I loved it. She is 93 years old. Where are the forks? I could imagine, you know, being kind to her and gentle. And what she wants, hey, where's the forks? I love it. That is, to me, is classic. You know, helping Jewish people is not fun. I thought she should be grateful and, you know, thankful. Hey, you have any forks? That's great. That is, I tell you, that is classic, isn't it? You can't get along with people like that. I loved her. Now I went to her home and she started singing a song about a lamb. She sang it. She said, you know, I came from the old country where I was like a princess. Her father was one of the great men in the Russian Revolution. He was one of the greatest men in the Russian Revolution. He was top. You don't even know who he is. People don't even know unless you understood Russian history. But he was one of the top men behind the scenes, Jewish. And so she lived like a princess. And she came to New York City, and her family had to get out and so on and so forth. And when she came, they treated her terribly because she was Jewish. And they just treated her horribly. But one thing they taught her was this little song about a lamb. And she sang this song for me. And she said, that's my favorite song. I said, well, what's the words? How do the words go? So she sang it. She said, well, I don't know it, you know, if I can remember it. And she sang it. And it was all about Jesus. But when she was Jewish, so she came home and asked her mother, Mother, what's a lamb? And the mother didn't want to say it was Jesus. So the mother said, well, it's a cow. It's like a cow. You don't see the humor of that. You know, they were protecting her from, you know, this Gentile Jesus thing. But I knew she said, next year on Passover, you come here, not to Art. You come here to me, to my house, I'll give you a Passover. That's powerful. That's when she got converted and died, became a Christian. That was a powerful story about how love breaks down all barriers. The love of God. She liked that little lamb story. Yeah, it's good. All right, God is good. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine. Shine, 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 shine upon you. Upon you personally. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his Shalom, his peace, that peace which passes understanding, that peace which the world cannot give, that peace, his perfection, heaven on earth, that peace which is true righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost, that peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen and amen. I love you all. God is good.